I was gonna. Never mind.
Hey,
I'm good. I'm good.
Hey, and welcome to the Unofficial Spoil Podcast, Season 2, Episode 14. And as you probably heard, we have a guest. As usual, it's Lee Silencio Steve here with.
Hey, it's Vance Axel.
And our guest today, returning guest. That too.
You think it picked it up pretty well? That was that loud?
Oh, I hear
it. Picked it up well.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Hi, it's Messi.
And everything.
Yeah. Well, I can do the bigger one. That one's a lot louder.
Yeah. No kidding.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you want some? Well, we're still going. Of course we want you on. And as usual, we start with Regicide, though.
Woo! I love hearing that. That's the best part of the video. Every podcast, I love. That's the line that gets me. My ears perk up. My heart starts pitter-pattering. My eyes are darting back and forth as I swerve through people on the road going 90 miles per hour. And it really makes my day hearing that.
It has nothing to do with the amount of speed that you're going.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah. So, basically a continuation of the whole deal or something in the after effects of that with Orpheus chatting with Leon and Leon going, you guys got way too much collateral damage.
Yeah, I don't think Leon knows what he's talking about. He doesn't seem very experienced to me. I don't think he's done this kind of thing before.
Probably not.
Can I just say, I don't know if Leon is like a character made person or someone Scott made or something, but Leon seems very disproportionately apathetic about what we're trying to do versus his morning jogs and the other meetings he has that day. He seems way more like, look, I have a schedule and I have to keep to it. We're like, okay, we're thinking about maybe like just genociding like a whole race of people. And he's like, well, if you're going to do that, you got to do it right. And it's like, oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. He's like, all right, I got to hit the showers.
Yeah. He's lawful.
Yeah.
He's Joey's patron advisor for Kingmaker. But yeah. Yeah, he's a. Yeah, that's definitely freaking a bit weird to be that freaking okay with genocide in the first place. So we have him go for a morning jog, and Orpheus doesn't really get much of luck with talking to him. And then we have the food scene where Leon doesn't get to eat enough. Orpheus has some unusual taste as usual, and some food that's offered to someone else later on because they don't need it.
Let me ask you this, Messi. Do you feel, because I kind of do, and this is why I'm asking you.
Okay, well, now I'm biased. Okay, sure.
I mean,
yeah, me too. Whatever it is.
You know what? First off, I'm sorry, Steve. We should answer the roaring question that I and many of the other people who don't really exist want to know, and that is, why do you hate Yandis? That is the most important question. And secondly, do you feel like Yandis's demeanor is becoming a bit more like Elijah than
so,
maybe it was in the beginning?
So here's what happens. Here's some insider info. When I first made Elijah, he was supposed to be the like smart wizard guy that the team looks to for intelligence, but he was not, like, you know how Orpheus is smart about like lopers and killing people and that kind of thing. Well, Elijah was supposed to be like more like research based, like arcane focus. He's like, oh yeah, of course, we know we can do this kind of magic stuff, because the team was lacking a significant amount of magic and stuff, and mostly intelligence. But
no comments.
When I got Yandis back, the Yandis transformation that happened at the Time Temple was supposed to fill that void a little bit more, like way back before we even made Elijah. We were like, okay, Giannis needs to get a little bit smarter and needs to be a little better, because Scott was telling me to shut up a lot. He said, Bessie, Giannis is so annoying. I hate Giannis so much. Like, we need to rework him a little bit. And I was like, Scott, what do you mean? All my characters are the same. And he's like, yeah, I know, but like, you're annoying. And I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. So we went, and we took Giannis. We tried to transform, like we made Elijah like the far like reaches of what we were going for. And then we kind of filled Giannis to push him a little bit more in that direction because of all the training he got, and be like, oh, he's more educated and whatnot now.
Okay.
So sometimes I go back and forth where I'm like, you know, I really want to be the charismatic Giannis that fucks everything up. And then sometimes I'm like, you know, I really want to be the intelligent Elijah that fucks everything up. So it's been like, I've been going back and forth on the spectrum a little bit. I think I'm starting to narrow it down a little bit. But a lot of times it's just, I have, okay, no offense, but I have Ophios, who has very specific interests in my party. And I have Rena, who also, I don't even know if she knows what she wants right now. So if there's anyone in the team to give guidance who has a mission and an objective right now, it would be, that's not a crazy snake person. It would have to be Giannis. So I'm trying my best to not be Elijah and Giannis in one person, but just show a little bit of more intelligence to Giannis and keep them separate. But I got to tell you, right now, it seems like Elijah's got a lot more going for him right now. I wouldn't mind checking in on him, seeing what he's doing, being a little fly on his wall, you know?
Yeah, I think that's on everyone that's watching's mind. Okay, he doesn't have the symptoms of ice thing anymore. Okay, that's nice. And feels like he's really getting into the swing of things in this thing now. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Does he look any different, though?
The ice sickness was supposed to be the thing that grounds him. Mm. So just as from a character perspective, him not being sick and knowing that he's dying and he can't, you know, do what he wants to do forever, and that he has a time span, really was driving him to do certain things. Like, it was kind of giving him, not motivation, but like, it made things very structured for him. And now that end spot of him knowing, hey, I don't have a clock that's expiring right now, this is awesome, I don't know what he's going to do. Honestly, he's got a few things that I could see, maybe his aspirations off camera are getting a little greater than his britches, but that's up to Scott, I think. So I don't know, but I'm a little worried that he could become the very thing we've sought to destroy.
Well, the thing is also, he's part of that power structure in Amalta now, so
yeah.
I mean, he's at the top, but he is part of the power structure, so yeah.
Yeah, the only reason he joined it was because he knew he wasn't going to make it to the top. He was going to die before he got there, probably. But, I mean, if the, you know...
Well, if the clock's gone, sky's the limit now.
Yeah, sky's the limit. I'm a little worried. I imagine if Scott were to do an Aurorn Part 2, where Amalta becomes Peridel and starts taking over the planet, he might have a role in that. We'll see. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping there isn't an ice age that covers the continent, but, you know, who knows?
You'll probably need a couple of his experiment buddies in the first place for that, though. Probably.
Well, yeah, I can see that. But the reason I was asking that is because we do see that I think during this episode, Giannis is kind of the negotiator between Ophios and whoever Ophios is talking to.
Yeah, we kind of needed one. And to be fair, Giannis does have the noble training, and he's got the family business, so he's been around this kind of thing before. But I try to make him talk like he's inexperienced, and there's a goal he wants to get to, but he doesn't know how to get there. So usually, yeah, I'm just being myself. Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
And Rena is being Mama Bear. I know it's a joke, but at this point, she really is. She's like, I'm not going to interfere with what you guys are doing, but if anyone ever tries to attack you, I will take them down swiftly.
Rena's like, Ophios, are you sure you want to sacrifice yourself to the acid pit to become a greater snake being? And then he's like, I kind of want to. She's like, okay, if that's who thinks best. And then cut to Leon or Elliot or someone, Aslan maybe, being like, you know, if you do that, you'll die, right? And she's like, you shut up. Don't tell him what to do. And it's just awesome. It's like, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much how the dynamic goes at this point.
But now, honest to God, the only person that can tell us what to do is the one who has that master bracelet. That's all it comes down to. So whoever's hand that's on really is the one who calls the shots. So at the end of the day, whatever I do is temporary and her decisions are final.
Yeah. And with that mom and bear personality, they might be a lot more balanced than you do. Well, if yes, but after the chats and everything like that, they end up going to Dreadstone, which is always yay when this guy over there, because, what am I going to have to deal with next? But yeah, and because Yondas has met Kroll and the Emperor, and it's not easy to find him because the place is mostly Hobgoblin, which was kind of funny at the time.
Yeah, I remember the last time we were in Drivestone, I was playing Elijah, and we were just like briefly flying by it, and I don't remember there being a mention that it was mostly Hobgoblin, but is there like some kind of lore where it's like a descendant of some kind of mole village or something, or some kind of like place that they all crowded to? Is there any kind of lore there that I would know of?
I don't know specifically with that, but you'd know that the Emperor's last name's Rain, right? Because he just told that to you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's a family of Hobgoblins from that living there as one of the main families. So.
Oh, interesting.
It's also a deer, and a deer is kind of full of Hobgoblin. Delric says he doesn't express that enough, but a deer is like mostly Hobgoblin and everything else is there. We just don't deal with Hobgoblins that much.
Hmm. Yeah, I honestly forget about them a lot. I think of the mole and hobgoblins as like two, like the mole being like this big, oh, they're everywhere, and the hobgoblins being like, oh yeah, they're just a thing. Yeah, yeah. They're just around. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to beat up Scott about that.
So able to find Kroll. It takes a long amount, it takes a day and a bit to find, I think it was. And then a chat after midnight, I think it was, because it was once the moon's passed its highest point. And
there is this question, and I don't know if you want to reveal it. If you don't, that's fine. Where Kroll asked you about your lineage because you weren't affected that much from the, I get. The seat of power, let's just call it that, mm-hmm. of the Time Temple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, wait, didn't he discuss this with you before? Like, all that stuff?
So
before he left?
Okay, so I was... I tried to speak with Kroll before we were leaving. That was back when we were doing, like, the flashback before Yondas officially joined the group. Mm-hmm. And I was at the... I remember being at the top of the Time Temple. We put the crystal gem thing, whatever, there. And Kroll was like, okay, great, I'm free, let's leave. And I was like, yeah, great, I have like a million questions for you. And he's like, and Scott was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, I mean, this guy's only been commanding time for the last like 100 years, I should talk to him. The last person to do that was Abstergo that I know of. Yeah. And he was like, oh, okay, well, and then he was like, someone comes up the stairs and we'll leave it there. And I was like, okay. And then we flash forward 6 months. And he's like, all right, you ready to join the group? And I was like, what? But what about the thing at the Time Temple? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I wanted to leave with Kroll and ask him like a billion questions. And he was like, oh, why didn't you do that? I was like, because you told me I couldn't. You said he left and someone came up the stairs and was going to talk to me. Who was that? He was like, ah, don't worry about it. You don't know him. And I was like, what? What, that whole thing was for nothing? He literally just cock-blocked me from discussing anything with Kroll and the Emperor. And just like, he was like, ah, whatever, it's fine. So I don't know. When you're doing a campaign that has a lot of time hopping, it can get confusing, and there's a lot of things you don't want to happen in the wrong spot. I think for the most part, he's been pretty good at improvising around that. But this one, I was like, dude, come on. You can't just you can't just explicitly do like not the thing I was asking to do. You gave me a reason why I couldn't do that thing. And then you said, oh, don't worry about it. That like he was building up something else and then it just went away. And I was like, dude, this sucks. So, yeah, I don't think I ever actually got to speak with Kroll until now. I just kind of left the temple. He left the temple. We did the Pokemon wave. See you soon. And then we never saw each other again.
Actually, just a gift drop funny. Off the side of the pyramid.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But yeah. So yeah, asking about, you know, being a loper in the middle of town. Well, I guess not too many people would know what that is in a deer other than like the higher ups. So it, I guess it didn't really matter.
I don't think
there was like some spies or something. Yeah. I didn't want like I had like a little bit where I was like, shit, in the middle of town we're just talking about it, like looking around and Scott was like, yeah, it's fine. I honestly it was like I felt like I wanted to answer his questions honestly so he would meet with me. So I didn't want to be like, hey, we'll talk about it later, like slyly looking around out of the crowd and being like, hey, where do you live? You know, like that kind of. So I just trying to be not sketchy. I was trying to be transparent, but be like, hey, we should talk about this somewhere else. And it seemed like it worked for the most part. And it seems like there isn't going to be too much, if any, backlash from that. It was just kind of a thing that happened. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean.
Were you asking specifically, though, about Kroll questioning me about my lineage? And was there like a specific question with that? Or did you just mean like the conversation in the middle of town with like the public view?
Yeah, I was going to ask about. Well, it was just the conversation in the middle of town, because I was asking about. With him being on the seat of power, you kind of he's able to see things in the past anyway. So I think he would have had like a lot of that knowledge.
Yeah, he probably would have known I was there
from there. Anyway, yeah,
so, I think that would have come down to if he had the interest to look into past and
well, he had those the time.
Yeah, he had the time. He only popped in for a couple of moments at a time while he was up there.
Yeah. I wonder how much he knows about Abstergo. I wonder if he has some knowledge I wouldn't have. Well, who knows? Maybe we're traveling with him, so I'll ask him next week. Unless Scott's like, oh, but before you can leave with him to go to Sun's Rest, a dragon shows up.
Well, there are dragons in those mountains. They're just little dragons. They're just wyverns.
A family of wyverns pick you all up by your necks and carry you 100 miles away. Come on, Scott, again?
I don't think Scott's ever railroaded that hard. That will be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. He really doesn't like it when I talk to Kroll. He's like, I hate having Kroll speak. It's so much work.
Well, Kroll was originally one of Jake's characters, so he's probably not that confident.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I don't want to jump ahead here, but I'm excited for that miniseries if it happens. That'd be really cool, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I have so much rearranging to do if that happens.
Yeah, the town building stuff.
Yeah, town building stuff. But yeah, so once everyone gets to Kroll's house, which is pretty empty, but that kind of makes sense because he's just recently there and he's also really apathetic most of the time, it seems.
Yeah, he seems bored. He's got a huge bathroom.
Yeah, probably. yeah, with that, and we have the Emperor come out for a talk with his usual ectoplasmic ways and commenting that the entire Regicide party is basically his creations because he made the Slowko, Perrin, and Lopa.
Yeah.
And then a lot of telling Ophios, no, we can't transform you into that because you're freaking, you won't exist afterwards. Creature.
So what Ophios is saying is he needs you guys to go back to the Time Temple and make him a baby again. And then
he needs take to be him
back to... Take him back to that to Sun's Rest.
We've been
experiments on him.
This is something that him and Scott have been working on since October of 2020. I remember that's when they first discussed it with me and Rena. But this is something that they've been talking about as a possibility for almost a full year now. And I think last night, just a random NPC that we went to meet and talk about it being like, well, it's impossible because you'll have to go back to an egg and then you'll be transformed into something else and it won't be you anymore. And Tyler was just like, yeah, but it's been 9 months.
Well, it's the anime thing, right?
I feel like he's going to go for it. I really don't see it. And like just knowing Tyler, I don't even know about Ophios. I mean, sure, Ophios will go for it too. But just knowing Tyler as a PC, I don't think there's any way Scott would be able to change his mind about trying this. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have a Planeswalker moment and have a little mini campaign with a different name or whatever and be like Aurorum, the Agoning or something like that. And we'll see if we could do it. What happens when Ophios changes?
I don't think it doesn't work out. He's got the Goliath and backup.
That's true. The Goliath used for the one episode.
The Agoning actually fits the syllable count as well. So it works.
Is there a syllable count? I actually didn't know there was a syllable count.
Yeah, it's always got to be three.
Three.
No, isn't it two? I think it's two.
It's three.
Kingmaker is basically two.
It's three. Okay. Yep.
It's three.
Yep. It fits the syllable.
Crawl
three.
In hell is also three. I think that's what he was. That's what he was saying yesterday. That'd be cool. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
No, you're good. Basically, the Emperor explains so much information this episode, what you guys actually killed.
Yeah.
Did you guys already know that?
No. Sort of. Because
you Patreon people.
Well, we knew the connection between the Mata Arbiter being created. We knew the connection between the thing that he had around the necklace that Kingmaker destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense that the undead baby god thing was basically another one of those. We didn't know that there was the universal base thing that he was talking about, but we knew they were all sort of connected in that sort of thing.
So for someone like me who only understands things in the form of Pokemon analogies, is this the Mew to the Mewtwo Martyr? The Martyr is the Mewtwo, and then what we just killed was the Mew. Was the OG?
Yeah, from South Six. The
one that everything was copied from? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Yeah. So, Kingmaker destroyed one way of making copies, and Arena accidentally sold the other one to Nibbles.
Well, wasn't this one also, some weird catalyst between the moats? In the plains or something like that, where he's explaining
well, someone was saying that it basically seemed like it was a soul making thing, but it can't have been connected. Yeah, it can't have been the negative plane because the Arbiter's there. It can't have been the positive plane because the Martyr's there. I'm not too sure if it could have been any of the other ones because we don't know exactly who has what completely for that. Like, the only we know it doesn't have one's the salt. But the salt's falling to pieces, and I don't know whether or not that's going to come into.
Didn't he say he was also creating the elementals that were powering the moats?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I think he was exchanging those children or the what he was creating to the elemental plane, so that the elementals will come back, and then they can just tie them to this world. It's something weird like that. And I was like, oh,
that's synthetic generators.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, this, I don't know. Okay. This is like this is that age old question of ancient technology being better than the current technology. Mm-hmm. And being like, okay, so did everyone just forget how to make elemental babies? Is someone else doing this somewhere else? Is it like, what? How can they? How did they figure this out 1,000 years ago, and now all we can do is build a giant ice wall? How is that?
He explains that through the Arbiter, destroying all the old knowledge of the mole.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why there's a bunch of burned books in the library. the Arbiter had a hand in that one. But he did say that there were other labs, so we haven't encountered those yet. So we don't know whether
this was his big one, right?
Yeah, that was his personal one, which is why he's really pissed at Ray.
Oops.
Well, as you're saying, pissed at Ray.
Yeah, who isn't at this point? Do you think Rayburn's in hell?
No, we don't
have. No, Rayburn doesn't exist anymore.
Well, you don't think there's a slither of him with the sword that escaped,
like hell.
But the rest of them were thrown into.
You don't think Kroll could maybe reunite the Planeswalker crew in hell?
Oh,
is that a possibility?
Jake went to. Has already gone to Varrogo. Ilan's already gone to the Martyr. And Rayrin. There's a shard of him with his sword that did that escaped complete destruction, but the rest of it got.
Gotcha.
Consumed by an entropy thing. So.
Yeah, that's why when anybody says Rayrin, I'm like, who? He no longer exists.
It's a good call. Good call. Yeah. Who needs him?
He really pissed off a slime god by selling all the slimes to the devils.
We got Elliot in Kithel now. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, who needs Rayrin? He wasn't even that cool.
There's so many freaking decisions that everyone makes in these campaigns. And you just like, And Rayrin didn't love
him. I feel like. Has there been a net positive from any of the PCs? In any of the campaigns?
Like, they're really individual moments, but not so much the Kingmaker and Regicide.
Throne Keeper
had a couple. What about
Throne Keeper? I didn't really watch them too much.
It was always the one where I had a hard time catching it at work. But, there were a couple of moments where they had a good impact and that sort of thing with like breaking up. I think they had a breaking up slavers moment or rearranging the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing they focused on. Yeah.
Otherwise.
They caused a revolution in Yovance. There you go.
Which can be both good and bad.
So there's that.
Yeah. I guess it depends on the outcome of it.
Mm. Well, we haven't found the outcome to that one yet, unfortunately.
They had a net positive. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You guys kind of took down. You guys created a power vacuum in Yovantia, as Leon enjoyed telling you multiple times last night. So,
well, whatever.
There was. So you know they'll probably succeed now that they don't have so much pressure on Yovance.
Well, they'll definitely have a respite there in Yovance. For however long it takes, so once it's over, there's probably going to redouble the efforts, I'd guess, because I want to make up for lost time.
I mean, sometimes in war, all you need is time, and then
I know how we can get a lot of time.
Yeah.
You mean that thing you're forbidden from doing?
Yeah, but if I go back in time till before he said that, then it's fine.
Or you'll just create a parallel universe where none of this actually matters. I've seen Loki. I'm just saying. Oh man. But Ulfios has a couple of good quips back at Kroll.
Back at the Emperor,
The Emperor. Yeah. Not Kroll. Kroll was kinda cordial that entire conversation. And then offers Kroll an opportunity to help him figure out what the hell he needs to do to evolve. And Kroll's like, cool, let's do it. And the Emperor's like, what the fuck, bro?
The Emperor's like, did you not hear what I was just... I really like that. I really like their little dichotomy there.
Yeah.
It's like two like twins, I guess.
It is kind of like twins at this point.
Yeah.
And the Emperor, Othiose asks what they want. The Emperor, well, he asks Kroll what he wants. And the Emperor immediately goes, "I want independence," when no one asked him. And then Kroll can't figure out what he wants until he decides that he wants a purpose. And I think you guys end up giving him that.
I'm hoping. Nice. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully he doesn't, like... I'm a little worried. because, you know, we've had this amazing outcome with everything we've tried to do. I don't think there's been a single backlash since we started this campaign. But telling someone, hey, here's a problem. Are you interested in that? Maybe you could help fix that. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And then I just don't want it to be the scenario where they show up all bushy-tailed and bright-eyed, you know, with their backpack, and they're like, oh, my first day fixing the planes. And then they go and they sit down on a bench and they just get decapitated out of nowhere. And it's like, I got to live with that, you know? So I was like, okay, I mean, if you know what you're doing, maybe, yeah, okay.
You don't have to live with that. You don't have to know about it, you know?
Yeah. If there's one thing Scott's great at doing, it's not telling me the outcomes of what I do.
I can't think of one instance where that happens, and then there's that one guy in Monley. That one guy with the kiss of Luke.
Yeah.
Let me help you.
Oh, man. Look, you just got to keep your nose to the grindstone like Rena does.
Oops.
Rena doesn't care about about all that nonsense.
I don't know what Rena cares about right now. The character, I mean.
Like, yeah, yeah, that's what I'm
seems like
about.
She's like, yeah, actually. We should go to the Daylands and kill the guys that caused all this. It's like, cool. That opens up a lot of other obligations, though. Like take out the textbook and start flipping through it. Let's see. We got, who's going to take power when they die? Okay, that's a good one. Keep flipping. No, that's boring, boring. 5 pages later. Oh, all the planes are opened up still, so that's something we might need to worry about. If there's no leadership, who knows? Keep flipping. So it's just like, yeah, I want to kill all the people, but is now a good time? I don't know. Maybe next Tuesday? Maybe schedule it sometime? It's like, and then, it's just like a lot of pressure on Rena to be like, hey, you could be a good person and actually, like, if you really wanted to sit all, like, make a plan, sit this down, like work something out. Or you can be like how we've all been and just be like, no, this is what I want to do, so I'm going to do it. And whatever happens, happens. And if it's a net negative, it's fine. I did something good. It's like, so I don't know if Rena, the character, is being swayed and that's why she didn't want to speak to Leon, is because she knew... or if that was one of the reasons that she knew that he would probably try to give her more work to do anything, really. But instead it's Yandis who has to bear that and be like, hey guys, maybe Leon is smart. We'll see.
Well,
we'll see how it goes.
I think Yandis has to deal with it right now because Rena's kind of going through a transition. We saw that a couple episodes back where she's like, she doesn't know what she wants. She's still being Mama Bear, but she kind of knows that she wants to pursue her own goals. And right now, only you two have goals. And
well,
her only...
I mean, Ophios, I feel like he has goals to... I feel like his objectives, the way he views objectives is a little bit different than everyone else. So I think his goals are... becoming the ultimate being the most powerful he possibly can, and then using his power to influence the world. So it's like he's just as focused as on making himself stronger as he is on actually eliminating Lopers, if that's still what he wants to do. I mean, it seems he might be losing some aspirations for that, so he might be leaning more hard on the other. I'm not sure. There's probably a million reasons as to why Ophios does what he does. It's just... envy. I don't envy Tyler having to figure all that out and then come in every week and be like, put his mind in that space for so long. And I don't expect him to stay true to it 100% of the time. I mean, 100%, I haven't been true to what I'm supposed to be doing or the characters I'm playing all the time either. So I think his is just a little more obvious because Rina, again, isn't, you know, doesn't know what she wants. And then Elijah's gone. Janusz just came back and he's different. So I think a lot of eyes are trained on Ophios to see what's going to change. And it seems like not much has. So I think that's...
He's also usually the loudest in a way. He's usually the loudest character in a way because he's always...
Yeah, he has very black and white. Yeah, everything's very black and white to him. So yeah, it's interesting. It doesn't mesh so well right now, and I think that's part of the idea. At least from my perspective, I don't go to Rena and Tyler and be like, "So do you guys think? You guys think this is a good idea?" It just works the way it works, and I think it's more true to our characters when we fight than it is when we force ourselves to get along, even with Rena being Mama Bear. So I don't mind the, I don't remember where we were going with this or where we started, but I'll just end it with this. I don't mind the current kind of choppy dialogue and dichotomy that our group has. I think it fits the scene at the moment is what I'll say.
Oh, definitely.
Well, yeah. Cause Ophios is finding places where he can do this transformation. Rena's dealing with the fact that, oh, my soul's probably going to the devils once this is all over. And, Jonas has just turned up again, and it's like, okay, where do I fit still?
Yeah. You guys want to go to the Time Temple and just redo this? Just start over? Just hit the reset button?
I would just have Jonas go back for a third time for the third time dealing with the start of his journey.
I still got to drop off those sneakers. I've been holding on to this man's sneakers for a long time. I've been trying them out. They've been real nice to me. They've been working out pretty well. But I got to give them back at some point. I told him I would. So I got to travel back in time to the next day after he gave them to me and return them. We'll see. Probably not. Elliot will probably kill me if I do that.
Elliot won't kill you. He'll save other people, don't.
Who's to say he even knows, right? If you do it right, he won't even know. But piggybacking off of your point, I think Ophios is starting to see a little bit more gray, and that's probably affecting him a lot more also in his personality. Because after you see things in black and white for so long and then you have to start seeing gray, it's like,
scary.
Yeah.
I mean,
that may be where his laser focus is coming from.
He was talking about seeing the ghost changing his mind and changing his perspective and that sort of thing a lot. And then a thing came up in one of the spoiler chats, I think it was, where like, can the Empress see that ghost at the moment? Is that ghost even there at the moment?
I don't think so. I don't think the ghost is there.
I don't think so at the moment either. It was just a one-off curse.
Still probably wandering the desert. Yeah.
Well, then again, he hasn't used the skill since. So
true.
I mean, we haven't really fought people since either. I don't think we've had any combat.
Well, you fought the undead baby.
Yeah, I don't think we've had any combat since.
And the whites,
undeads. Yeah.
Didn't bother to use that spell with that one. So, and it would have been interesting seeing that spell
got any living creatures.
Yeah. It would have been interesting to see that spell going up against undead baby god, seeing if that did anything.
Well,
yeah, that's true. That's interesting.
If there was any sort of interaction between that and its negative energy plane connection.
I want to ask one question. If you had to reimagine Yandis, would you still make him a rogue?
If we go back to, oh my god, whenever we started this, I think it was over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now.
I think Scott was saying 2 years ago because it was that.
Here you go, Messi.
Because there's that item from the start that Ophios just sold. That dust thing.
That's right. And that was even probably a month or two into the campaign.
So yeah, because the patron thing didn't come in straight
honestly,
away.
Times of time. Time temples, they really mess me up, man. I don't know what year it is. Let's see. If I were to go all the way back to the beginning, I think I made a rogue because I didn't know what Rina and Ophios were. So I think Elijah was probably would have been, if I had more time to think about it and I knew what the other two people were playing before, Elijah probably have been the one that I had made. But I only had he gave me 3 days. And he was like, okay, starting 3 days, you got to make a character. So character concept, and then I built it out, and then we had session zero. So it was and he's a busy guy, so I kind of had to do it. I'll say he did help me on the character creation. He was kind. He gave me some of his time, but he didn't give me as much time as the other two. But I think it probably would have been more like an Elijah, maybe. I don't want to spoil anything in case I end up making more characters, but I have other character concepts that have come up with since then that I like a lot. So maybe one of those. Yeah.
Are you looking toward any of the newer subclasses or subclasses for inspiration, or are you just like,
I mean, the Psionic Rogue, originally he was going to be, I think, an Arcane Trickster. I think it was because he was going to be half magic, half rogue. And then we transformed and we put him on the back burner. And then the psionic classes came out actually after we had done that. And Scott was like, that's funny. That's kind of what I was thinking we would turn him into. It was like a UA thing. And I was like, well, there's an official one now. So we went with that route. But I think, what was your question?
I was like, are you looking toward the, any of the UA stuff or,
Right. That's right. Yeah. So what, I've been watching the UA stuff a lot, and the point I was trying to make there was that we used one while it was a few days after it had come out. We had used it to rebuild Yondas. So I think, I definitely still watch them. I wouldn't mind. I don't want to make a bard, but the Spirits Bard that came out looked pretty cool. It was in the Ravenloft expansion. I think. Yeah, the Ravenloft expansion. I have it on my table over there. That one was pretty cool. I was reading through that. So yeah, so I still read them. And I like them. Yeah. Waiting on 6E or 5.5E or something. That'll be the, if they do it, we'll see.
I don't know if they're
going to. Oh, don't worry. I'll just give Scott something more to complain about.
No, tell you what, if 5.5e comes out and all they do is reduce the jump height, I think Scott will love it.
Well, and also do something about the insane auto healing everything at the end of a long rest thing, because those seem to be the two things he's complaining about a lot.
I don't know. I don't know if you guys watched the Witcher campaign or knew about it, but we had a homebrew healing system. So Rina's character, the Witcher, was using the full heal, regular 5e system, and the rest of us were not getting any, a lot less healing, basically. Yeah. We weren't getting the full heal, so we had to roll our hit die, I think is what it was, to heal.
I think that's because she picked up
That homebrew's
one of the
easy
Witcher mutations for the full heal thing at one point.
That was something we baked in. I was with Scott when we made those classes. Yeah, that was something that we just baked in. We wanted the Witcher to feel special, so we put a lot of weird little things in there to make it different. And that was one of them, was we kept we kept Witchers on the old healing system, and then we moved all the other characters to the homebrewed one where we didn't heal as much. So that's just one of the things. But that was a bit of a tangent. We can go back now if you'd like. Rewind.
Well, I was going to say, I'm curious on why you guys don't just move over to it, as it seems like Scott's really bothered by it.
Move over to what? Oh, the other healing system?
Healing system, yeah. I don't think too many people have a problem with it, but
I think it's just a case of they've been doing the other way since the start, and it's been 2 years of that to suddenly just pop that in.
Yeah, we probably would have had a TPK by now if we didn't have that.
Probably the regular one, yeah.
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 But now things are too easy. I mean, we killed this baby god in an hour. Mm. I didn't even do anything. I like to keep mentioning that.
Yeah.
I like to bring that up. I mentioned it too.
Hey, Scott, remember when two PCs and he's like, shut up, Nessie? Immediately starts crying, bawling his fists.
Yeah, freaking.
Oh, man.
Well, one PC takes no damage. The other PC is knocked down to one, I think it was. And the other PC just sits back and has a nice time.
I'm like, whenever you guys want to leave, I'm ready to go. So just give me the heads up.
It would have been a better idea to not fight it, but oh well.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Steve agreed with one of my bad ideas. That's awesome.
Well, kind of predicted that the only way that thing was going to die was with that specific axe. But
yeah, I like. I thought it was so funny that after it died, Rena just keeps hitting it. She's just like trying to kill the thing. Like, why won't you die? And it turns out it's because. It might have been because it was already dead, and Ophios only didn't heal because it had that anti-healing aura behind, like, around it. But
that was
funny. I just like her chopping up the dead baby corpse and being like, "All right, your soul's coming out. I can't trust you."
Yeah, freaking. But no, you grabbed all the books, you grabbed all the materials and that sort of thing, and you could have just gone. But Ophios wanted to kill the thing, so he could use the place, even though the places, even if they open up again. It's probably going to come down.
But we did, because of that, we're able to explore that bottom floor, and we did find out about the book that's been kind of, the one that kind of first cracked, could put that first hairline crack on Ophios' black and white psyche there. So I think that was actually pretty important. And if not for that, then we wouldn't have this awesome devil campaign. This is the era of the devil. This is great. None of this would have happened if not for Ophios wanting to fight the baby. So, hey, if you're looking for a reason why all this happened, it's Tyler's fault.
Are you going to join the hell campaign, Messi?
We'll see. We'll see.
You seem like you want to go to hell. Real
bad. Well, I'm not really, but we'll see.
It would be interesting to see Scott's version of it for if it changes at all,
or if Crowley make it out of hell. The Emperor doesn't think so. So,
yeah,
but
get the bad ending.
I mean, who knows? We thought time was fucked up for would be fucked up longer than it was. So
it's just funny because I knew as soon as we got to that altar when I was Elijah and he was like, yeah, it used to be a gem here. I was like, Giannis has it. I know it. I know it. I knew it immediately. I was like, oh, fuck. So like, Giannis has it. We can fix this. This is easy. This is cinch. But Elijah didn't know that. So Elijah's like, oh, let's go as far away from here as possible.
Yep.
As an old man.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep. It's a good campaign. I think I like it.
I still think you got the better deal than Ophios for that. you're a lot older, okay, but you didn't have to go through all the mind fucking shit from being born again.
Yeah. But maybe that would have fixed me. Maybe it wouldn't have taken a devil's wish to fix Elijah.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, Rena used that wish, so who knows? Maybe Elijah's young again. It's whatever his best self is. So.
Yeah, and that's
whatever
all up
the
to
devil decides is his best self. Do you think that hand that he offered Rena, he also offered to Elijah, too? Or would have?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's not something we can answer without seeing it.
Next time we meet Elijah, he's got big curly horns. Oh, hey, buddy, you look a little different. Is that a tail?
Well,
you look good.
Raven kept dealing with deals and ended up with a buckler-sized patch on his arm.
You having the most insight into Elijah, though. What do you think Elijah would take that kind of deal? I mean, when you're close to death like that.
I think Elijah's smart enough to have known that there would have been a catch to it and tried to have figured out what the catch was before he signed on, but that's not a no.
Mm.
That's a Okay, I might buy this car, but how much debt am I really going to go into if I do it? $100,000? Yeah, that's a lot of debt. But if I had a cool car, maybe I could make that money back.
Well, the deal's so good, but you know there's just a part. I don't know. You just know there's a part that's broken somewhere. This is the way they're selling it so cheaply.
Yeah. But also, he has a 22 intelligence.
Yeah.
Not a very high wisdom score, but a 22 intelligence. So I think he would have been like the guy who's like, hold on 1 second. And he would have been like, got like a poster board or like a whiteboard or whatever and starts sketching out like, okay, so this happens and this happens. He's like, okay, so pros, all right, cons, I die. Yeah, that's a big one. Just like writing everything out, like calculating, like scoring it somehow with like some weird arbitrary equation. He's like, okay, seems the best case scenario. Yeah, we can do this. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll become a tiefling. That's fine. We'll see. I like saying we'll see because I don't want you guys to think that I have some kind of knowledge that you don't, because I don't know anything.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Like we didn't know what was going to happen to Elijah. And right now we only know what he was willing to tell Rena over the sending stone. So
yeah, I don't have any insider knowledge on that. So ask Scott. Send him an email or sign up for Patreon. There's the plug. There it is.
Oh, yeah. Sign up for Patreon. Yeah.
I've done that.
That still doesn't guarantee a reply, though, guys. So.
Yeah.
No guarantees, but the more money you give him, the longer he'll look at it.
Yeah.
Before replying, I was in the shower.
2 weeks later. Sorry, I was in the shower. Such a good look.
I literally saw something this morning on Facebook where it's someone's gone 2 years ago, told someone, hey, do you have a mic with your game set, whatever? And it was like 2 years later, no. I was like, bro, it's been 2 years. You don't have to fucking respond.
I saw that. That was like an Xbox Live chat.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years. No, I don't have a mic. That digital space is so strange. Like in the 1800s, man. They would have had to send mail. Oh my God. Imagine sending a letter and trying to remember what you wrote someone a month later when you get the reply.
Right.
Either that or send someone else to give the message for you.
Yeah,
like they had longer attention spans, so they probably remember. They didn't have anything else but to think about what they wrote down.
Yeah, I guess the people who were writing down letters were the nerds, because they were the only literate ones. So they're probably flexing their writing. They're like, yeah, I'm going to write so well, I'm going to write this letter twice and keep the copy so that I can refer to it later when they send a response. It's like, well, shut up, dork.
You just know, though, that they'll be flexing and that sort of thing, or being able to write
like a Chad.
They'll be flexing about writing and all that sort of thing. The person they sent to can't read.
What is this? To go to the library or something, the town crier. Can you read this for me? Hello, dear. I do have sexually transmitted diseases, and so do you. You should get that checked out by a doctor. It's like the whole town's looking at you. Oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
Thanks, town crier. That explains the colors. Anyway, so Red Aside, yay. That was everything, right?
Yeah, I think that was everything.
Sweet. We didn't do too much. You can sum it up pretty quick, huh? Oh, God, we've been going an hour. Well.
Just
maybe in post editing it'll be real quick. Yeah,
I mean Steve's just gonna give the rundown for the rest of them real quick.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Because, like I said, this is the episode I forgot everyone. So yeah. You'll figure that one out with that.
I'll keep my interruptions to a minimum. Steve, go ahead.
So we have Inclame, where they've escaped the Barrenlands. They go back to where they met the Dahlia. I think it was the Centurion of War, to give reports and get Cell's temporary character promotion from Legionnaire to first class, I think it was, and dealing with a captain that gave one version of events while everyone else gave another version of events. So because Cell's character did a better job than him, so he tried putting down both the party and Cell's character, and everyone's just like, no. And the captain of the Centurion of War was like, yeah, we'll have a talk to that captain, but yeah, Tethys can have his promotion. Here, you got to sign off on it too. And then they head back to where they're, to the person that they got the job from in the first place. What's her role? She's the. Do you remember what C-Pearl's rank was? She was one lower than
BC.
BC, right? So, battle commander.
Yeah, BC.
Mm. Yeah. Was that one?
They is have that battle centurion or battle? Yeah, battle commander, because she's not a centurion. Yeah.
Yeah, she's higher rank than centurion. So we have that. We have a moment before that where. What's his name? Galen has a lot of meditation, that sort of thing, because he didn't get a chance to keep up with his training, meditation, that sort of thing, because he's a psionic class two. He didn't get a chance to practice that because he was having to deal with the Barrenlands orcs. So
yeah,
took a moment to pick up on that.
To meditate.
So he took time to practice on that before the meeting, and Vigo, who's Jake's character, took time to figure out what the heck this gargoyle blood does, and it seems to, I think it was the empowering one, because the extended one was the gems, you know, it's the empowering effect when he broke it down to bottom and get. Then they met with Seapel, who basically said that, oh, your job was also the commanders. We're also getting the commanders from your reports, with your reports and that sort of thing. And with your work with the gates, the warden is basically becoming part of Dwayne instead of part of Perinia. So the River King's expanding his territory, so the gates got different people running it. Well, different. Answers to different people now. And the warden's fine. I think everyone got past the whole Ophiosis deception thing really quickly. unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't last long.
Just worth a shot.
Yeah. A momentary distraction.
Do you know anything about Inclame?
Don't know anything about what?
Inclame? Or what's going on?
That's the one where they have the Final Fantasy limit breakers, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
Basically, it's.
I think I saw their session zeros, and then I remember. I think I remember Neil specifically because I remember it was thinking it was really weird that he, like, had this. I don't know. He was like a low rank, and then he got like promoted, and he had a horse, and I was like, "This, what is this? Like a mill sim?" But sorry, go ahead.
So yeah, it's basically the paranoid.
I don't know, he's not probably active right now.
Yeah, no, he's gonna be.
I'm gonna ask a question at the end, but I'm gonna let Steve finish.
Yeah, yeah, too, yeah, sorry.
It's basically the paranoid side of at the same time as Regicide's running, so it's lower. It's a lot lower powered at this point. So we have the gate joining up with them with the Dwayne side of things, and have the Seapearl's response to the ship the captain tried to pull from that ship, and basically remarking with Jake about, "Yeah, you signed off your first promotion. This really, it's a really fulfilling feeling, isn't it?" And then Jake's wanting to get info on his brother who was stationed over that way from Seapearl, and we have the awkward. Want to go to dinner sort of thing from Jake to a superior officer?
Yeah.
That was an awkward freaking watch. Spicy. That was. Yeah, and trying to get her drunk as well, so she would talk about it. But it was definitely freaking awkward.
Wow.
So there's that.
Oh, Japan.
Yes. But we had that. And no, we also had
Japan. You get drunk with your boss anyway.
You don't get a choice most of the time.
Yeah.
If you want to keep your job, you get drunk with the boss. But also we had they're told you're doing these jobs for the Prince of Dwayne, the River King. You're going to this has been a trial period for you guys, and we're happy with the results. You've all got different abilities. You all come from different backgrounds, and you've all been pretty successful, and you know your limits as a group and where you can move around legally, sort of thing. So you guys are going to be starting of a special forces, like Kingsguard sort of special forces, not like Marine sort of special forces or whatever thing. And their next job's going to be over in Yuvantia, where Galen's also been told that if he wants to find out anything more for the psionic things, go over Yuvantia side. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's not too far from us, is it?
Oh, it's, you guys are in a deer, and they're going to be going, I think, going to be around by sea to get to those rivers.
So I don't know if you heard what Steve was saying, but there is also another person with psychic powers. And
well, I know that the Kingsguard, because I fought one of them in some town where we...
Same town
where you... Was that? That wasn't Dreadstone. It was...
No, it was same one where you killed the prince.
Yovensia's capital.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. But yeah, I remember that there was a psychic guard there. You know, he tried to arrest me. He implanted things in my brain and did some Black Ops CIA stuff.
Yeah,
and he was then, a Wolver, though, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't.
I don't...
He wasn't, because he's literally part of the same training program that Galen's from. And they're friends.
I thought, you know, at the time, I thought he was a Loper. And he just wasn't that high up on the ranking.
Yeah, no, it's,
not big enough for you guys to hunt down.
That's possible. I guess that's kind of what Yondas thinks. That it was probably just some Loper, or a descendant of a Loper like him. Because I mean, it's possible it's that another Loper Perrin, whatever 9.5 or whatever they want to title it. Exists out there like him, so I mean it's not out of the realm of.
I think they're on what's 10.5. What's got seen. Solus? But yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't know
because I know specifically 9 is magic, like arcane casters and that sort of thing, and 10's supposed to be one higher than that, and the Lopers I think are 11 on the list there, so it would be 10.5.
All I'm saying is, it seems that they've been mixing numbers there. How about that? Is that a better way of putting it? They got a big number stew going.
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly like that. It's not exactly like the Mola being around to keep the numbers separate like they used to, I guess.
Alrighty. I think... You can just jump into Warmonger now, right?
Okay. So they're traveling to their gala thing, where it starts off really well, and then they're just about to get where they're going, and that's when they get ambushed. Yoshido and Densho just beat one side of the ambush, but there are lots of injuries that side, and Kuchibashi takes out the other side pretty handedly. Without injuries. Then we have them interrogating the bandit leader, who they're a clan without land, and that they're working for another clan that has a banner that has black, blue, and two fish on it, and like, oh, this could be Clan Zinquin who's been trying to poison us and trying to cause shit in the background, or it could be another one. And Varric's, Jake's character, goes, mm-hmm. hey, shaman guy who I've got who's from a certain clan that Kuchibashi's having trouble with. What's their flag like again? Oh yeah, it's black with a blue river and two fish with one representing Vroga and that's who it is.
What's their name? Vok.
Vok, I think it was.
Yeah, Vok. Yeah. Vok. Kind of Vok. I just, you know, why attack them when they're going? Why not attack them when they're coming back, when they're probably a little less suspicious on the attack?
And probably a little less on guard, because they're probably more focused on what happened in the gala. Yeah, that. They get a written testimony. By written testimony, I mean they write it out, and the bandit leader signs off, because he knows how to write, but he doesn't know how to write that well.
Right.
They get to Tin Chang, and which is the tribe/town they're looking for, to hitch a ride on a boat to go to the gala. And Shadow's diplomat tries to be a hype woman for them, and everyone's like, oh yeah, we know Kuchibashi because they used to be without land and they used to be traveling through here. Oh yeah, we know Densho because the leader's basically centuries old at this point because of his bloodline. And your clan, who are they? Because they took over quietly and didn't talk to anyone other than their own people.
I'm surprised they just don't know them, because they're the only clan secretly working with Peridot. But I guess it's not even secretly. They're just openly.
Yes.
They're openly working with Peridot, the only clan.
Tin Chang kicks a peasant family out of their house and barn so that the party can have a place to rest before they go into Tin Chang properly after being attacked by bandits. And they get a free dinner out of it because the peasants are about to eat it. Then we have chats about handing over the bandit leader. We have chats about, oh, what's this strange tree you're bringing up for the gala? It's something we got out of Aldemar. Yeah, it seems to still be growing, even though it's been cut down. So it's clearly magical, and it's like gets some interest from the people at Tin Chang, but then gets some more money from Tin Chang from selling one of his special crystals that has unseen servants for 3 months charged up in it as a continuous runtime thing. So Nick ends up with a bunch of BP, like from both defeating the bandits and from selling the crystal.
Right.
And otherwise, the episode was basically filled up with the combat or with recaps right at the start from where the clan come from to how they got there, as well as recaps of future plans. I know Shadow specifically was, let's try and get some diplomacy going and pick up teachers, like look at libraries, look at everything for knowledge sort of thing. Otherwise, they're just about to go by boat. I think that's when they left off for that episode.
Alrighty. One thing Narn should do is have a letter sent back to just plant the other half of the tree into the ground and start his own tree farm there.
Yeah, lumber is expensive.
Yeah, it could work.
Well,
that's how he makes most of his money. His clan's all about going into Eldamar and getting whatever they can out of Eldamar and selling it.
And, yeah.
As well as riding X-Beaks. And Shadow is all about steel and forging. And Dincho, Bruce Jake's one's all about cannibalism, fighting, and now dancing.
All right.
They're also guarding Kajinksi from the Barren Lands.
Okay. That's not as cool as dancing and cannibalism, though.
I mean, they do those things, too.
You guys have a lot of insight because you watch all three campaigns every week, allegedly. I just want to know which campaign has the longest combats in, the needlessly longest combats?
Needlessly.
That's either Regicide or Warmonger.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
Inkame sure hasn't had much in the way of combat.
Okay, this isn't a Disney Warmonger, but I definitely think it's Warmonger because Scott and Sel, they go over the same rules 452 times. Yeah. And they the line of the rules.
They're in Pathfinder.
They're in Pathfinder, but they're playing with third-party rules.
Oh.
Yeah, and so they're going over the rules, but then they're making sure that the rules are correct. So then they read each line of the rule.
That's funny.
It's so, 3 times minimum from both of those two, so.
But that's only like the war campaign stuff. If it's just like actual combat stuff, it's not that bad. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
So us then. Okay, cool. I mean, I only got two. All I do is throw snow blades, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All I know is that Warmonger doesn't have many normal fights. They have a lot more war fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's longer still.
Yeah, I actually kind of like the way that Flight Fantasy Games does it in the Star Wars campaign we do, where there's like shared health pools between minions, and mm-hmm. your turns are actually pretty quick there. I thought it was actually going to take a lot longer because you do less per turn. But it seems to be that since you have less options, you're able to decide really quick, and you just like narrate it real fast, and it flows pretty well. So I don't know how clunky Pathfinder's war fights are, because I haven't never played Pathfinder, nor have I seen any of Inkame's, or is it Warmonger? Warmonger's
path? Yeah, Warmonger's the one with,
I haven't seen any of Warmonger's.
Inkame is more like, Inkame is much more individual fighting, like you guys and Warmongers, the armies and minions sort of things.
So Pathfinder has like a different rules for war then, that are bulky.
Yeah,
or is that like the third party thing that you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, it does have baseline like armies and that sort of thing, but they added third party rules on top of it. Sort of thing.
I got you. Yeah, I imagine that can be pretty complicated. I won't knock them for taking a long time in combat for that. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. We should be a lot faster. I mean, we haven't like Arena attacks like 4 times, and Ophios has like a whole kit and caboodle, and I stab with blades and roll sneak attack sometimes. I mean, it should be a lot faster than it is, but.
FFG also goes faster because there's no armor classes and stuff. So when you hit,
yeah,
when
that's
you
true.
Hit on the die, you hit. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's you hit. and the other successes are basically this is how much extra damage I'm doing and if I rolled a crit or not. So
it's nice system. Plus, roll 20 like calculates all that too, so you just click the button, it's all immediately there. Like if you had to actually roll and count everything in real life and then go and look at, so I imagine it would take a lot longer in person. It's pretty easy when a bot does it for you, so I really don't mind. Can't say much.
Yeah, and I mean Regicides also gets a little bit lengthened because Ophios and usually one of the enemies have massive fucking ACs that everyone's just standing around trying to hit. as opposed to all the other campaigns, so that's probably what's slowing down Regicide a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, that's it, everyone.
basically all the shows.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. That is it, everyone. Thank you for joining us this week. Thank you, Messi, for joining us.
I just have one last thing to say before I go. A big announcement. You mind if I do it now?
Yeah, do it.
All right, here we go.
No problem.
I knew that was coming. It's the best time.
I hope Scott hears that.
Oh, man. Also, guys, this is going to be my last episode. Like I was saying before, if you guys want the assets, YouTube channel, that kind of stuff, just let me know.
You go, and I will
give that information over to you.
That's so
thanks
crazy.
For joining me on my last
episode.
The
end of an era.
Messi?
Wow.
Yeah, it's almost been a year.
Man, I'm so old. This campaign's so long. Oh my
yeah,
God.
I feel you, man. The
somehow we outlasted two campaigns. One that started before us that ended months ago. And then another one that started way after us that also ended months ago. Oh my God.
True. I think you're coming up on Kingmaker's point. I think got maybe like a month or two more to go, but once you do,
I don't want to be
you'll beat Kingmaker's time.
We have so much to do. Oh my God. Our list keeps getting longer.
Well, that's only if you listen to the lawful.
Well, we all have our own
just like
personal quest too, you know? That we're gonna want to wrap up. So, yeah,
that's true.
Anyway, should I do the fart sound effect again so we can leave? All right, I'll do the little one.
Sure.
Thanks.
Why not?
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
you can end on that.